Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Orange Juice News and Notes from around the world of insoles. I am your host today, Owen Kinoy, and today we have a very special topic, endurance training. I know that sounds super exciting, but seriously, it is kind of the newer trend of just taking care of your body and kind of being more cardio forward and pushing yourself to the limit. So we have a very special guest with us. Actually, one of my close friends, Michael Cannon. Michael, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the welcome there.
Yeah, no problem. So Michael has experience running in several half marathons. He's completed a marathon. He's done some other races, kind of a relay 200 miler is what he was explaining to me, which I would never do. But props to him. So basically, Michael runs a lot more than I do. He also has a background in personal training and exercise science. So he didn't just wake up one day and decide he wanted to start running like Forrest Gump. For those of you that know that one. But that's kind of Michael in a nutshell. So we're going to talk about some of his practical experience and just how things have gone and that sort of thing. And go from there. But Michael, I didn't mean to tip you off too much, but how or what events have you kind of trained for the audience, just to give them an idea, or what types of events are you doing and training and whatnot?
Yeah, for sure. So again, thanks for the intro. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be a part of the podcast here. Little background on me, the funny story on how I got into running. It was the summer between fifth and sixth grade. Back in the day, I was going to orientation at the middle school that I was attending. And, you know, being a fifth grade kid, I was obsessed with sports, probably like you, Owen. And it was the first time that I saw a Letterman's jacket at middle school. And I was like, dude, I gotta rock one of those. But to get the athletics letter for the jacket as a sixth grader, there were only two sports you could participate in: cross country and wrestling. My wrestling experience was my brother in the living room, and I was like, all right, I guess I can run cross country. It was like 5Ks or something at the time. So ran sixth through eighth grade cross country as a way to like stay in shape for basketball. And then that kind of carried me through my running career. I've done a handful of half marathons. Most recently did a full marathon last April down in Louisville. That was a great experience. As you mentioned, a couple of relay races. Those were like 200 miler ultras, which was a crazy experience. And then potentially half Ironman on the horizon next year. We'll see about that. But that's a quick little overview of what I've done so far.
Perfect. I love you putting the half Ironman out into the stratosphere. Now that's on record. That's something you're considering. So you're
speaking it into existence. I'm trying to convince myself to do it. I just haven't pulled the trigger yet.
Oh, come on. You got this. It's just very easy for me to say.
We'll see.
So the question, do you have the Letterman jacket still?
It's definitely at my parents' house. I'm pretty sure it's hanging in one of the coat closets. That was a prized possession for a few years there.
I know I was asking about the events, but I just got so sidetracked by that. That's sick. So
yeah.
Every sixth grader loves the Letterman jacket. And we actually didn't even have those in middle school. So that's even cooler. But okay. So as you all can hear, Michael has a pretty diverse background in running, something he's been doing for a while and whatnot. Michael's wife likes to brag about how in shape he is though, and how he loves to hit the gym and do all the weightlifting and all that good stuff. He's totally shaking his head right now. But anyway, so Michael, when you're training for these events, there's this idea that it's not just about working up your cardio and your endurance just by running, because your body can only take you so far. It takes a lot more than that. You may need to work on, you know, joint mobility, but more importantly, strength training, so that your body can actually handle those longer distances, is ultimately the broader idea for the audience. But what role did like weightlifting, strength training, and that sort of thing play just in your training? I guess like how often were you maybe lifting, Were there certain exercises, that sort of thing?
Yeah, for sure. So, back in college, I was a certified personal trainer, so I had the kind of lifting background to mix in with the running. And then recently, the term hybrid athlete has kind of taken over. You run far and you lift heavy, and that was something that like kind of combined two passions of mine. And I was like, oh, I can get on board with this. So when it comes to like the specific exercises, I wouldn't say my strength training was necessarily like race or running focused. I still kind of did a bro split, like a push-pull legs type thing. But what I did find to be super helpful, and I'm using this term real loosely here as an endurance athlete, because I personally don't feel like that. I just like to have fun in these sort of races. But, running even just a 5K all the way up to a full marathon, like your body is going in one direction for so long that I found like the lateral movements in the gym, moving side to side and getting out of that repetitive range of motion, to be super beneficial. Helps your ankles, your knees, your hips. So any sort of lateral focus, especially lower body, I have found to be super helpful. I wish I would have done more of that prior to my full marathon. I cramped up real bad during that, and I attribute that to maybe not enough strength training.
Okay, that's really interesting that you mentioned mixing it up, and yeah, that is so true that you're kind of working the same muscles all the time, but it's more of a holistic approach. So, what would be maybe an example of like some lateral focus training? You mean like I mean, you could literally use a ladder, right, and do like some agility training, or are there any like strength or weightlifting exercises specifically that you might recommend for that as well?
Yeah, I would say I like the I think they're called like skier hops or something. Like you're basically jumping from one foot as far as you can to the right, and then jumping on over to the other foot, going all the way to the left. Stuff like that. Single leg stuff, whether it's lunges or like an agility hop around cones, like a three cone drill, something like that. Pretty much whatever works for you guys, just to keep it mixed up.
And do you focus on just as you're explaining some of that stuff, it sounds like more of a dynamic warm-up and that sort of thing. Is that something you do prior to your runs as more of a dynamic routine, or what sort of warm-up do you do, if any?
Yeah, so especially recently, I have made it a habit to incorporate more stretching, flexibility, dynamic warm-up stuff prior to my runs. I back in my younger days, it was just wake up and go out and run, and like
Of
my
course.
body would just be torn apart if I did that right now. So I'm spending at least a good 5, 10 minutes prior to going out, making sure that everything's warmed up, firing correctly. And I attribute that a lot to not having super significant injuries. I haven't been running too long, but like I also have not sustained a whole lot of injuries in my running career.
You know, it's actually really impressive, Michael, that you mentioned how injury-free you've been able to stay. I feel like, knock on wood, he just raised his
Absolutely.
eyebrows at me and is like, "Why'd you say that?" Knock on wood, but that's impressive. A lot of people struggle with that, and it could be because they don't take kind of the either the warming up seriously or even just some of the strength training that we talked about. But have you ever been injured? And if so, what did you do? I know you mentioned the cramps during the marathon, but just curious if there's anything else or if you really have been that healthy.
Yeah, luckily running wise, nothing significant other than the cramps. And like I said, I attribute that to maybe a lack of not enough strength training mixed into my marathon prep, in combination with a change of environment and weather.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that an early mid-April race was kind of like the sweet spot because it wasn't, beaten down summer heat at that point in time. The race was down in Louisville, so it was significantly not overly w much warmer than what I was used to. But like training throughout the winter, I was in leggings and sweatshirts and pretty bundled up. And get down there, and I was in shorts and a t-shirt and just totally not prepared for it to be 20, 30 degrees warmer than what I was used to.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, so it is what it is. It was a good learning experience. Definitely filed away a lot of info on that.
Okay. So maybe we shouldn't ask you, because I know like nutrition has a lot to do with cramping. So maybe I'm only joking now, but maybe we shouldn't be asking you about nutrition. But that was kind of next was
I mean,
I guess as far as like nutrition goes, just for the audience, the bottom line is when you're working out for that long of a period, your body is going to need more energy to keep going. So there's all sorts of different things you can do and eat and whatnot. But what do you do, or what have you done, Michael, for nutrition?
yeah, for sure. So when it comes to nutrition, one of the things that I learned, I think from someone on YouTube or something like that, was don't try anything new come race day. So all the nutrition stuff, I made sure I kind of worked the kinks out in the runs leading up to it. You don't want to be out on the course having something that you've never tried before, and maybe it doesn't settle well in your stomach, maybe you can't get it down. So it's all trial and error in the training process of it. Owen, as you mentioned, when you're exerting effort, for that period of time, your body definitely needs to be refueled. So when it comes to like race specific nutrition, it was a whole bunch of electrolytes to make sure that I was staying hydrated. And then it was the fast acting, easy to digest carb sources. My go-tos were the honey stinger waffles. Those things were fire. They were like a nice little almost candy-esque type treat while I was running. And then the little gel packets. I feel like those are hit or miss with a lot of people. Some people love them, some people hate them. I thought that they were good enough flavoring wise. They didn't
Sure.
mess up my stomach or anything like that. So I would say those were kind of my key foundational aspects when it comes to like intertraining nutrition.
Sure. Yeah, the honey stinger waffles. That's so funny you say that. That was a blast from the past because, of course, we had them at Playmakers, the running store I worked at, and it really was, you just like look over and see someone just like eating some, and they just look at you and they're like, "Oh, I'm not running right now," but
Right? They're good.
that's
They're
okay
good.
because they are good. That's awesome. Well, yeah, there's all sorts of different things you can try, like Michael mentioned. I personally would recommend going to maybe a local running store if you have one, because they have all sorts of different brands and flavors, and they've also vetted a lot of them too. Like they know which ones aren't popular and that sort of thing. But I guess just when you're training for one of these events, one of the common themes that we've noticed from Michael and even just past episodes is that routine can be really important, and you don't want to shake up your routine too much, especially close to race day, because you just never know if it's something that will help, which would be great, or it could really kind of negatively impact your performance as well. Michael, what is something that you would consider essential for someone kind of new to endurance training, to know or to do, or just to really keep in mind, because it can be intimidating for a lot of people.
Oh, for sure. So, good question here. When I was first getting into like half marathon and marathon training, a lot of my info comes from YouTube University. So I'm just going on there and following the influencers that are already out there doing this stuff. And I would say the two biggest things that I picked up from that was A, don't compare yourself to people that are out there that have been doing it for decades. You might see them on video and they're like, oh yeah, I just ran 15 miles at a 6 minute per mile pace. And I'm like, dude, that's impossible for me.
Yeah.
So don't get discouraged by that. And then especially on the running front is zone two training. So that's like conversational paced cardio. You gotta be able to run slow in order to run fast. So I did basically like 80% of my weekly training was in that zone two range, where you're going out and running however many miles you need to run that day at a pace that you can just have a casual conversation like this. And then the other 20% of the time is when you're doing those kind of push yourself workouts that might be more track focused, like I'm doing, 400s at race pace or 200s above race pace. That's definitely going to help improve your cardiovascular strength, but it's also taxing on the nervous system, so you don't want to be doing that all the time.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We've actually talked in the past just about how important it is to find your heart rate zones and train within them and kind of know the purpose of it. And there's all sorts of research that can be done on that too, that I'm sure you could get lost for days if you really wanted to, kind of going through it all.
Go down a rabbit hole, you'll be there for a long time.
Classic YouTube
Oh
University, what can we say?
yeah.
As far as training goes, Michael, you mentioned just like kind of doing different routines and where you mostly stay in that Q2 heart range or that sort of thing. How do you balance pushing training with knowing when to rest? Is there kind of a rule of thumb you follow, or what do you do?
I don't necessarily have a rule of thumb. I think it's a combination of like knowing your body and listening to it. Especially during marathon prep, like you're out there for sometimes hours and it's just like you get really in tune with your body and like the little aches and pains and stuff that you feel. And you got to be able to determine like, is this something that I can push through and keep going with, or B, like, is this actually something serious that I need to dial it back and take a rest from in order to recover and train properly? And I think that goes hand in hand with like, we're super fortunate to be living in this era where there's so much technology. There's watches and the Whoop bands and the Oura rings and all that kind of stuff that like tracks your actual workouts and your sleep and your recovery and all that. So I relied on my watch a lot for that sort of stuff too. Monitoring my heart rate during workouts and then checking my sleep score and like my HRV overnight and like all those other metrics. I didn't get too crazy into it, but it was just like a good little indicator of, can I push myself today? Should I dial it back in order to be able to reach my end goal?
Yeah, and another useful way to use all that information too is not even necessarily just for training, but maybe for your own just like mental health and that sort of thing.
Oh, for
You know,
sure.
maybe there's a fun event that evening or whatever that you can go out to, but you know, your readings say that maybe you should stay home and relax, and maybe you do and wake up the next morning and feel a lot better for it. So there's so many different ways you can use that. I'm glad you brought that up. Kind of wrapping up, more of a fun question for you, Michael. What was your favorite race or like most scenic view or that sort of thing? I know there's all sorts of beautiful races. Have you done any cool ones or one that stuck out?
That's a good question. I would say the couple ultra relays that I did, those were we started in Madison, Wisconsin, and finished in Chicago, and it went like almost 2 days. So, like I said, that was a relay race where like you would cycle through. So basically, you went out and ran however many miles you were assigned, and then you hopped in a van with everyone else that wasn't running, and the next runner got out and carried on. And I mean, we were sleeping in the vans and we were sleeping in like YMCA gyms and stuff, like doing anything that we could to recover. Your other team members were out running, but there were some sweet views like coming along Lake Michigan there. And I would say those were definitely my favorite views and races that I've participated in.
I'm sure some bonding as well, just with the team
Oh, yeah.
members and support members and that sort of thing. That's a really fun thing to go through and experience with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a weird too, like if you're time slotted for like, 8 miles at 2:30 in the morning, not something that most people experience. You're just
Yeah.
out there with your little headlamp, like in your thoughts, and it's like, oh God, why did I sign up for this?
That's awesome. Well, thanks for hopping on, Michael. Again, just as someone who's been able to complete several what we would consider endurance events and stayed mostly injury free, which is awesome. Hopefully you guys have picked up on some tricks that you can implement. But one of the things that stuck out to me was just how Michael was saying 80% of the training is about just going out and jogging at a rate in which you could talk and have a conversation. So, you know, there's all these different things that you can incorporate, but at the end of the day, it's just about getting out there and doing it and listening to your body a little bit along the way. So thank you so much, Michael. Can we have you back on a future podcast?
Hey, you let me know. I'm ready to roll whenever you need it.
Awesome. That's one I took from the vets. You got to ask them while they're on the air. if they'll come
there
back.
There you go. I won't turn down an invitation.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. That's another episode of Orange Juice, News and Notes from Around the World of Insoles. And we'll talk to you next time.